Thank you for tuning in to
TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers align saving kids. Kids of all ages and all stages for mental health issues, including addictions. If you know anyone that could benefit from calling MASK for a referral, for a therapist, for an inpatient or outpatient drug addiction clinic, we can help you, whether it's for addictions, whether it's for gambling, internet addiction, or all mental health issues, please call 718-758-0400. It is anonymous. It is confidential. Feel free to give our number out to maybe a neighbor, a friend, someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Jot down our number, please, once again. I'll repeat it, 718-758-0400. 0400. Times are very hard now. There are many folks that are home and suffering with anxiety just between the COVID-19, between the what's going on around us with protests. Call us. We'll hook you up via Zoom. We will get you a therapist on the telephone. We can get you with your insurance. So give us a call. Make sure to give it our number to anybody that may benefit, please. So tonight, I want to thank again Dr. Eric Ornstein, who is on with us again tonight, who is a biochemist, dentist, and a photobiologist. He has been working, Dr. Ornstein, with INRseminars.com. They are an organization that does trainings, webinars on all these issues, drugs, alcohol, vaping. You can go on to their website, again, INRseminars.com. They are Institute for Natural Resources. So let me get right to it. Welcome, Dr. Eric Ornstein, again. Thank you for being on our show this evening.
Hi, Ruchama. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with your organization and all of the stuff that you guys accomplish.
Thank you. Dr. Ornstein, you have lectured over 35,000 students and some parents around the United States just talking about the topics concerning marijuana, opioid addiction, and vaping. Last week, we were very honored to have you on, and we got the conversation talking about marijuana use and how important it is to have the discussion early with children. So just if we can just repeat what you said about having that early discussion for those that may not have listened last week to your show, if we can take a minute and just focus on that once again, please.
Sure. What we spoke about quite a bit last week was the fact that today's marijuana, because it's so powerful, because it's so potent, the main psychoactive chemical, which is known as THC, so even if a product doesn't say marijuana on it, but it says THC on it, that's the psychoactive component of marijuana. And because the products and the marijuana types, whether they're smokable marijuana, vapable marijuana, marijuana edibles, marijuana concentrates, because the THC is so potent and so powerful, 35 or 40 times the strength that it was at Woodstock in 1969. We're seeing incredible problems with the youth today, even if they're just dabbling or experimenting with this marijuana. What everybody listening to my voice needs to understand, especially with young people, is that the human brain continues to develop from before birth into the mid-20s. And as it develops, it is extremely vulnerable to the effects of addictive substances, of which high-potency THC is. Frequent marijuana use in adolescence, or even infrequent use with the high-potency stuff that's out there today, show changes in the areas of the brain that are involved in attention, memory, decision-making, motivation, deficits in memory, impaired learning in adolescents and teenagers. Chronic use of this stuff today shows declines in IQ, school performance, jeopardizes professional and personal achievements and social satisfaction, increases the rate of school dropout and addiction, psychosis, schizophrenia, terribly suicidal ideation. And what we're going to be talking about today is one of the other issues that happens is marijuana, today's marijuana, no matter what you read in the cultural media that tells you otherwise, is a gateway drug. It's addictive enough and a gateway drug to open up the door, unfortunately, to things like opioids and amphetamines. And we're going to be talking about opioids today. But there are many papers out now that the potency of today's marijuana will in fact lead 130 to 150% greater chance of opioid addiction in young people as they graduate from the marijuana to the opioids.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a very important topic that we need to continue to have with the teens, young adults today. Dr., can we start talking now about, let's move along, unfortunately, from marijuana, and let's talk about the opiates. What are the opiate drugs that are available to the young people today that parents must be aware of?
The ones that parents must be aware of to start are the ones that kids may find in the house by prescription, believe it or not. If you have somebody in the house that had some wisdom teeth taken out, or that had a knee surgery, or they broke something and they went to an orthopedist and had a cast put on, frequently doctors, even for appendicitis, sometimes doctors will give a patient an opioid prescription. This can be as simple as Tylenol and codeine. It can be Vicodin, which is hydrocodone. It can be Percocet, which is oxycodone. For a grandparent that may have had a hip replacement, they may have a prescription for OxyContin, which is very strong oxycodone, time release. All of these type of drugs, Vicodins, Percocets, Codeines, OxyContins in the house are very dangerous because the kids today know what these things are. And if these opiate drugs that may very innocently be in your house for legitimate medical procedures or legitimate adult medical pain, the kids can get a hold of these and start taking them. And if they do, they will very quickly become addicted to these meds and then, God forbid, graduate to stuff that's even worse and more deadly, such as heroin and fentanyl.
So there are many of the kids, the young adults, that are mixing drugs today. Let's talk about what happens when they mix their drugs. What is dangerous about some of those cocktails?
Mixing drugs is an event where certain drugs will bring you down, other ones will bring you up. The central nervous system, which governs how awake we are, how we think, how we breathe, our heartbeat, is generally brought down and slowed down by things like opioids. When somebody has an opioid overdose, their breathing will shut down and they will die from stopping to breathe. They asphyxiate themselves on the opioids. So what they do to mix the drugs is they try and bring themselves up, or if they're up too high, they try and bring themselves down. So some of the uppers that the kids are using are high potency THC or marijuana, which is a cardiac stimulant, makes your heart beat very fast. They will try and bring themselves down with alcohol or with an opioid. Another drug they're mixing are things like Adderall and Ritalin. These are the ADHD drugs that so many kids are on today for attention deficit disorder and autism spectrum disorder. These drugs are actually amphetamines, most of them, which speed your heart rate up and speed up your thinking and give you insomnia. So kids will take opioids to counteract the effect of Adderall or Ritalin or nicotine or THC. Also what you find is you have a new drug out there. It's not so new. It's been out for quite a few years, but there's a combination called a speedball, which is a combination of cocaine and opioids or amphetamines and opioids, which kids get a hold of in one single pill, in one single pressed pill on the street today, or kids are selling them. And this is a combination of the uppers or the amphetamines and the cocaine plus the opioids. And these are extremely dangerous because so much of this stuff is now being made overseas. Another combination kids are using today with catastrophic results are benzodiazepines like Valiums or an Ambien, meaning if a parent has a Valium, especially in these anxious times, to keep them calm, or an Ambien to help them sleep at night, kids will get a hold of those and sometimes mix those with opioids, and that's catastrophic. So you're finding kids are mixing and matching many, many different types of drugs today to counteract each other. If they're too high and they're up, they'll take an opioid to go down. If they're too far down, they'll take an amphetamine or a nicotine or something to bring them up. So that's what's happening with the mixing. And certainly the more drugs you put on board at the same time, the more dangerous it is for these kids.
Now, we have many parents that call the helpline and say, where can we get a drug kit? We want to take our child. And Matt recommends that you do not test your child for drugs without working with a professional. We always recommend that you first, the parents, go for a consult to an addiction specialist, either privately or at a clinic that specializes, like LSA, like Safe in Brooklyn, and there are many others. You can call the helpline, and we can give you a referral based on your insurance, where you live, where you work, make it easier on wherever, you know, the family member is that needs the treatment. But so what is your feelings about testing in general? So parents could be doing testing on their own.
I see the tragedies in my seminars. What happens when I have 100 or 200 people join me for an all-day seminar on marijuana, on opioids, on vaping? In many different places around the country. I've been to, I think, 30 or 40 different states in the last 18 months, almost 35,000 professionals and parents. I can't put more than 100 people in a room at a time, I think I said this last week also, without hearing three or four tragedies about kids who are either completely addicted, in rehabilitation, failed out of school, lost their marriages, lost their jobs, and unfortunately many of them died, where the parents are just completely broken because of this. And much of it is because the parents never did the test. You couldn't get the courage to do the test. You can buy commercial tests that will test hair and will test urine for things like opioids and things like amphetamines and things like THC. If you have a suggestion, you have a thought that your kids are doing this and you think they will argue with you and not work with you at all to get themselves tested, I would say maybe buy one of these commercial kits that you can buy at any drugstore, at CVS or Walgreens, test some hair, test some urine, take their hairbrush, do something just to see if your fears are actually justified. Because if you let it go and you think your kids are doing drugs, then you've got even a bigger problem. You need to get between your kids and drugs as quickly as you can if you want to save the child's life. An overdose of fentanyl, which can happen in a vape pen. an overdose of fentanyl, which can happen in a simple marijuana cigarette that's been tainted. An overdose of fentanyl, which can happen in something called Mexican Oxy, where the kid thinks they're taking a simple Percocet, but it's actually pressed fentanyl from Mexico. Any one of these can kill your child within 5 or 6 minutes if they get the wrong drug or they're taking too much. So if you have a thought that that's what your kid is doing, I would say get them tested. If they won't go to a professional with you, do whatever you need to do to test and figure out what's going on. Because if you don't intervene within 5 minutes, unfortunately, God forbid, you might not have your child anymore, because these drugs that are out there today that are now tainted with the strongest opioids we have, called fentanyl, is killing literally 70, 80,000 people in our country every year.
Let's talk about peer pressure. Kids that are bored, kids that are, you know, not very social and they want to fit in, kids that don't do well, let's say, in sports. Some of them are self-medicating. Some of them it's peer pressure. You know, how do you talk, how do you, as a doctor, advise parents to talk to the kids early on if, you know, about peer pressure? Plain good kid peer pressure.
The peer pressure usually starts, Ruchama, with things like marijuana cigarettes or marijuana vapes or nicotine vapes or simple stuff or alcohol. That's usually where the peer pressure comes in. You don't see a lot of kids who are going to start taking Percocet or going to start taking Vicodin or some of these, or heroin or fentanyl, from peer pressure, because it's usually not the kids that are doing that. It's the marijuana, it's the vaping that will act as a gateway drug to the stronger stuff, or unfortunately, the kids who will find opioids in the house or find opioids in a relative's house and experiment with them and then start to get addicted. I'll give you a perfect example. This happens all the time. A young person comes home from college or comes home from yeshiva, and they're in their grandmother's house, and they see in their grandmother's bathroom in the medicine cabinet a bottle of, you know, that says on it 60 Percocet. But the date for the Percocet is 2018. Well, the kid is smart. They say, well, now it's 2020. I remember Bubby had a hip replaced 2 years ago. And I just saw her walking this morning, you know, on her 2 mile walk every day. So her hip must be fine. Clearly, she doesn't need this Percocet anymore. All of a sudden, that bottle of 40 Percocet that's been there untouched now for 2 years goes missing. And the kid now has what to experiment with and pass out to his friends. So that's how, it's one of the ways kids sort of get started in the opioid game, is by finding opioids around the house that they're experimenting with. But to go through peer pressure and start on opioids, you don't see that as much. You see it more with the gateway. If the kid gets themselves too deep into Ritalin or too deep into Adderall, which are uppers, or too deep into marijuana or nicotine, which are uppers, and they have to bring themselves down because they can't sleep, then they might search out the downers like the alcohol or the opioids. I don't see, at least in the people that I deal with, peer pressure for the opioids. It's more peer pressure for the first tier of drugs that then will ultimately lead to the second tier. But once the kid gets into the opioids, the dangers go up astronomically.
Right. And marijuana, after a while, if their friends offer them something like opioids, then they may give up the marijuana, and then they may move along and say, hey, this makes me feel even better. So
sure,
it takes away the pain. So
yep,
we need to consider that as well. So even though the peer pressure is not the opioids, it's just they start with marijuana, and then they can move on. You know, if they're offered something, you know, like an opioid or any other illegal drugs, they could be offered.
Yeah. So a peer pressure for a kid might be, try some of this Adderall or try some of this Ritalin. It'll help you stay up at night and think, or it'll help you study or help you take a test. equally as dangerous as the marijuana for children without a prescription to start experimenting with Ritalin or Adderall. Back in the day when I was in school a long time ago, we used to take Notos or caffeine pills to stay up at night and study for our final exams. Well, that's long gone in the dustbin of history. Now it's Ritalin and Adderall, true amphetamines, and so then they might search out opioids to come back down. The e-cigarette, the high-potency nicotine sticks these kids are sucking on today, they might need something to bring them down, alcohol or opioids. And I can't stress enough to the parents that if your kid is going to the dentist or if your kid is going to the orthopedist, do not under any circumstances let this doctor give your child a prescription for 20 or 25 Vicodin for anything. If a kid is in pain because of what's going on with the procedure, there are many ways to take them out of pain with Advil and Tylenol and 5 Vicodin instead of 25. You would be amazed how many parents don't realize that a prescription from a doctor starts getting a large percentage of teenagers addicted to opioids every single year. So don't walk into a doctor's office for an orthopedic procedure, a dental procedure, thinking it's perfectly fine because the doctor wrote your kid a script for the opioids. It's not perfectly fine. You need to really measure how much your kid takes. And if they need opioids for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, have the doctor give you the prescription. You pass out the pills to the kid, and after 2 or 3 days finished, they're done. That will help you not get your kid addicted if they need opioids for a procedure, because that's a big way that it happens too.
Yes, I'd like to touch on two more topics. One sure. is the give back program. You know, a few years ago, I went to Assemblyman Simbowitz and said that I spoke with CVS, the pharmacy, and they were giving away boxes, metal boxes, that are used for the give back program, and they would have it installed in any police station that I can get it approved. Well, we did get it approved, and we put one in all New York City police stations. So there are give back boxes. I'd like you to just tell the crowd that's listening, what is a give back box? What are the benefits? What are the right ways to dispose of these substances, please?
Well, certainly I would simply call the police station in your jurisdiction and say, hey, look, I've got a bottle of 40 Percocet or 25 Vicodin or whatever your opioid may be that I don't need anymore. I don't want it hanging around my house so my kids or my grandchildren or somebody could get at it. How can I dispose of it? And the police station, every one of them that you call, will have a program to take excess opioids back and get rid of them for you. So that's what I would suggest, and what I suggest around the country is simply call your police station, whichever, you know, the one in your town or the town next to you. Say, I have these opioids. I have them legally by a prescription. I don't need them anymore. I want to get rid of them. Can I bring them to your precinct and get rid of them, please?
And there are other ways as well for those that cannot get out to the police station for whatever reason. You know, you can mix it with kitty litter. You can crush them and mix them with coffee grounds. There are other ways of mixing it so that they cannot be used. It is not recommended to flush down a toilet. It gets in the water system, which is dangerous. So
right.
Please, please do not flush your extra meds down into the toilet, into the sink. Do not dissolve them. Please call your local precinct and let them know that you're coming by to drop it off. Dr. Bornstein, let's talk about naloxone. Such an important topic today because there is naloxone, another form of Narcan, and that is for the parents. Every house, every place of worship, every camp should have a naloxone kit, and MASC offers free naloxone kits, a free training and a free kit to anyone that needs one to have on hand for prevention of drug overdose. Take it away, please, Dr. Bornstein.
Sure. If somebody overdoses on opioids because the receptors, the protein receptors that connect to the opioids, have a lot of them in your central nervous system in the brainstem. The brainstem controls breathing. So when these very high potency opioids, too many Vicodin, too much Percocet, too much, certainly even a little bit of fentanyl connects to these receptors in the brainstem, it shuts down the breathing and there's an overdose and people stop breathing and then they die. What naloxone or Narcan is, it's called an opioid reversal agent. And it rips the opioids off of the receptors in the brain and replaces it with itself, which immediately will wake the patient up. So if you come across somebody who you believe is on an opioid overdose, they will have very low or no breathing at all. Their lips and their nails could be blue because of a lack of oxygen. If they're breathing a little bit, it might sound like they're choking or some of the worst snoring that you'd ever heard. You won't be able to wake them up no matter how much you push them. And they won't respond to pain. If you take your first finger and take your knuckle and press it very hard into their sternum, most of us would scream, ouch. An opioid overdose person will not scream, ouch, because they won't respond to it because they're overdosed. Another way is if you open their eyes and you put a light in their eyes, they have fixed pinpoint pupils. This is all signs and symptoms of an overdose. So if you're going to give someone naloxone, either a nasal spray if you're trained, or an injection in the arm or the leg if you're trained, you do that, you keep the breathing open, you keep their airway open, and give them rescue breaths if they need it, because until they start breathing on their own, you don't just want to give them naloxone or Narcan and leave them there. They might asphyxiate before the naloxone actually takes effect. So keep their airway open, keep them breathing, and within 60 to 90 seconds, they should start waking up. But this naloxone is an extremely important drug because it is a opioid reversal agent. The one problem we're seeing today and where things become so problematic is because the opioids are so much more powerful, even than fentanyl. There are drugs out there called carfentanil and remifentanil and sufentanil that naloxone isn't strong enough to affect anymore. So what you're finding is that if these kids or these folks are getting overdosed with the super fentanyls, even the Narcan won't work. The other issue for any first responders that are on the line or any parents that might be going to an emergency room with a child, if they think that the child has taken a time-release opioid, meaning one that lasts all day, you have to make sure the emergency room physicians watch the kid in the emergency room for 10 or 12 hours, because as the Narcan wears off after 2 or 3 hours, the opioid, the time-released opioid that they ingested will take effect again and bring them right back down into an emergency situation. So some of these people, some of these kids need 3 and 4 injections over the course of a day, day and a half, because of the time-released opioids they may have taken. So you need to be very aware of keeping your eye on these kids. You can't just give them a shot of this or a nasal spray, say, okay, they're up, I'm done, the kid is saved. If they've taken a time-release opioid, it doesn't work that easily. You need to keep your eye on them for hours and hours afterwards.
We always recommend to call 911 and Haftalah before administering the nasal spray naloxone that MASC trains everybody with. So, Dr. Eric Ornstein, thank you so much. Very informative. I hope to have you on again soon. And I'd like to thank the Institute for Natural Resources. Again, it's INRseminars.com. Anyone can go on and listen to Dr. Bornstein, another very informational, very, very, very excellent webinars that are available. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruham, and thank you to your organization again.
Thank you, and I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually for now, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Everybody can find anything they want online about you or your business. The good stuff and the bad stuff. Judgments, liens, court filings, and lawsuits. A simple Google search can turn up all that and more. Negative information on the web can cost you sales, cost you business, cost you customers. You need cleanyourname.com. Cleanyourname.com is a U.S. company that can delete negative information and promote your positive reputation. Cleanyourname.com legally erases links and negative information so it doesn't show up online. Then when someone searches your company, they find real, genuine, and positive information. Get a free quote and see what other people are finding about your company right now. Unfavorable Google results, bad press, and just flat-out web lies. Get your reputation back with CleanYourName.com. For your free quote, call 800-200-5575. 800-200-5575. Or go to CleanYourName.com. CleanYourName.com.